It's early March, and a Ukrainian family of three in Kyiv look out their window and film as the black sky flashes orange. As the sound of explosions gets ever closer, they realize they will have to make a life-changing decision.
Когда началась война,
we spent the first 10 days in Kyiv, constantly hearing explosions and hiding in the shelter. We didn't want to leave until we had to. But after 10 days, one evening, there was a really loud shelling and explosions right outside our home. So I asked Anna, is it time to go? And we decided, this is it. It's impossible to stay anymore.
That's Maxim. He's married to Anna, and together they have a 7-year-old called Alyssa. They never saw themselves leaving their beloved flat. They've never even travelled outside of Ukraine before. But right now, as the dust and broken glass settles outside, they decide enough is enough.
It was a very difficult decision to make, but everyone was supportive. Our family and friends understand that our duty of care is to our child, and we need to look after her in the first instance.
Like thousands of other Ukrainians living under bombardment, they pack their bags and drive. As this family wave their city goodbye with only a few personal possessions, they believe it won't be for long. Just 2 weeks. This is where we'll leave Anna, Maxim and their daughter Alyssa for now, driving towards the Polish border to escape the bombs. Meanwhile, more than 1,500 miles away, a couple in a small Oxfordshire village follow the news anxiously as Russia launches its invasion of Ukraine.
Waking up at 6 in the morning to go to school today. We wake up to BBC Radio 4 in the morning and they had the news program at 6 o'clock announcing the invasion with the sirens going on over Kyiv.
Good morning from Kyiv, the capital of Ukraine, a city, a country under fire.
That was a big shock and didn't really know what's going to happen next, how quickly it's going to emerge, which direction this is going to go.
That's Maria, but her husband David had been watching the build-up of Russian troops on the border for weeks.
I had said this is definitely for real and something bad is going to happen. And when I saw it on the news, I was mostly just sad that I'd been right.
I'm going this way, давай.
We met up to walk Kalashka the Husky across the crunchy fields that had been bleached by the summer heatwave. Now, many of us were shocked by the news of a war breaking out in Europe. But for Maria, who's Russian, this conflict was also a family one.
My family are very strong supporters of Putin, unfortunately. So they were very much pro-war and they thought that's an excellent idea. We basically stopped talking for a while during the months, several months after the invasion. Every conversation would lead to politics very swiftly, and it would be a big argument, and it would get very personal. There would be shouting involved and some swear words, and generally lots of unkindness towards me because I'm on the other side.
Grappling with this as they watched thousands of Ukrainians fleeing the same war Maria's family supports, the couple decides to open up their home to refugees. It all happened very quickly after they heard about the Homes Ukraine scheme on the radio one Sunday.
I definitely thought that's the only thing pretty much I can do because I didn't think I can persuade anyone back in Russia about what's going on.
Little did Anna, Maxim and Alyssa know, Oxfordshire was where they're headed. The families were linked up by a charity and things were moving fast. By the Wednesday, they'd met Anna and Maxim on Zoom, and the couple were told to expect the family's arrival by Saturday.
So
Six days after hearing on the radio, we were going to have someone in the house. I'm thinking we haven't even vacuumed.
Now, they didn't fly out of Poland on the Saturday. The whole process actually took about 3 weeks. But after a long journey, this Ukrainian family arrive at their new home, where David and Maria are waiting with the husky.
I do hope this plays out. I hope we haven't just made some tremendous mistake for them and for us.
Everything felt a bit strange and surreal. We felt quite anxious about how this was going to go.
I feel like we've gotten into a spaceship and I've been transported to a new planet. Everything feels so alien.
Life on this new alien planet was about to begin.
Mommy!
It's been 3 months now, and in that time, Alyssa has celebrated her birthday surrounded by kids from the area. The family have tried fish and chips for the first time and quite liked it. And they've got acquainted with a more rural way of life. So I'm heading down to chat with them about how they're all adjusting to living together. And as I walk through this village, I can't help but think how different it must be compared to living in a bustling capital city like Kyiv. There's only a bus twice an hour, a shop called the Village Shop, and that's about it really. Maxim's anxieties were quickly put to rest after meeting Maria and David.
I felt very welcomed at the first dinner, so after that, any anxiety died down. But we did still feel a little worried that we were invading someone's personal space and imposing ourselves in someone else's house. But as time went on, we realised we get on really well.
What Maxim said about invading personal space seems to be quite a common feeling for Ukrainians who are living with host families. Christina Schmalenbach is the programme manager for the Homes Ukraine support team at the Oxfordshire charity Asylum Welcome. She's been working with the council to support the county's Ukrainian guests and has been speaking with many of them.
They are very grateful, but they yearn for some independence, life on their own, where they don't have to tiptoe around someone else's space. And who cannot understand that?
You only have to stay at a family or friend's house for a few days to know the feeling of being on your best behaviour. Maria and David, however, are less fazed by this. They've lived in shared housing for years. But that doesn't mean it's all been smooth sailing. Imagine moving to a place where you can't speak the language, where the alphabet is so different you have to learn how to spell your own name. It's been a pretty huge challenge for Maxim, Anna and Alyssa. Here's Anna again.
We've only had a few English lessons, not provided by a proper organisation, but by a mother at Alyssa's school who saw that our English was very bad and she offered to teach for free.
The family were told that there weren't any spaces left in the council-provided course at a local college.
Hello.
Local MP Leila Moran has been hearing similar stories.
I've had a round table with families of Ukrainian guests who have arrived. We've discussed a lot of the issues. There hasn't been enough provision of professional English lessons.
In practical terms, it means Maria has to help with basic tasks.
Because they don't speak English, they cannot book themselves to a GP full stop, because they cannot handle a phone call to a GP, and there's no online booking system, and they can't walk into the GP anywhere to book themselves in.
The leader of Oxfordshire County Council, Liz Lefman, said she couldn't comment on the lack of official language provisions, but said there are plenty of volunteer-run classes in the area. Youssef El-Badadi has years of experience working as an English language teacher for refugees, including some from Ukraine. We met in a cafe during his lunch break.
Having the language allows you to become part of the culture. It allows you to work, it allows you to enjoy what this country has to offer, and it also limits the feeling of being an outcast.
What Youssef said there underlines how important language is when it comes to doing everyday tasks, like filling in paperwork. And for Ukrainians here and their hosts, there's a lot of it. On the Homes for Ukraine scheme, host families receive £350 per month, and Ukrainians should receive £200 each as a welcome gift. But in this case, neither the hosts nor the guests received their money because the government didn't inform the council they were registered until months after arriving. And for David, dealing with this bureaucracy has been the hardest element of hosting.
Anything and everything they needed to do needed paperwork done for it, and every institution we met was initially resistant. So getting them a bank account, getting them national insurance numbers, getting them benefits, every aspect of it was as difficult as could be, because each institution wanted lots and lots of things from them that they didn't have.
Here's Christina from Asylum Welcome again.
For a lot of hosts, it was also their first encounter with a lot of the bureaucratic structures that are in place in this country, and that you only ever access when you're in need.
Local MP Leila Moran believes that this level of bureaucracy is totally unnecessary and should be changed.
If there is someone who's come over at any stage and they are very clearly from Ukraine, they should be able to access all those services, and the host should be able to access the help that is already available out there.
But paperwork and language aside, this Ukrainian family is homesick, and watching their city and family being bombed is devastating. Here's Maxim again.
We've lived through the experience of being bombed and shelled. We know and feel how it is to be there. So when we read the news, it has a huge impact. When I read about a bombing and casualties, I feel like I'm actually there and experiencing it, feeling the pain of those present.
And how can anyone live a normal life like that? When this family had to flee their home, they were sure they'd be back soon. And while they enjoy life here in the village, it's just not the life they had in mind.
The life you're living now is just a placeholder while you're waiting to go back to your life. When you see buildings being bombed and children dying, it feels like part of your soul, your old life, is dying with it. We're sitting here watching our lives and our country crumble bit by bit, and we're unable to get back to it.
One of the first things that Anna and Maxim asked their hosts when they arrived was, what happens after 6 months? For context, when the Homes for Ukraine scheme was launched, hosts were asked to provide rooms for a minimum stay of 6 months, although there's no official contract binding them to this. It must be an awkward subject to broach for guests and their hosts, but Maria tried to be as open as possible, telling Anna and Maxim that they have around a year to arrange moving out.
Even if by the end of this year they can't basically be somewhere, we're not going to kick them out, but we will try to re-emphasize that we're expecting you to start earning money, looking for a place. And I think that needs to be a very clear message what the expectations are from each side.
But not all Ukrainians have as long to find their feet, and that could cause huge problems. Dr. Alex Powell is a lecturer at Oxford Brookes University and specialises in refugee and human rights law.
In the context of the cost of living crisis we're now seeing, it's quite likely that some host families might feel that actually bringing three or four people into their house is not a good idea at this time, and the payment no longer sort of covers any extra costs they would incur.
And on the ground, that's something that's already happening in Oxfordshire. Here's Christina Schmalenbach from the charity Asylum Welcome again.
From the amount of current hosts, at the moment we do not think that half of them would want to continue into the future.
Let's let that sink in. Asylum Welcome estimates that around half of host families will stop after 6 months. In Oxfordshire, there are around 1,000 of them, so now the council faces the mammoth task of finding replacement families. But thinking 6 months at a time is not a long-term planning solution, especially when there's no end in sight in Russia's assault. And there lies another problem. In the UK, Ukrainians who have come on this scheme are technically not legally classed as refugees, instead receiving a 3-year visa. So what will happen when their visas expire? Dr. Alex Powell explains how this could become a problem several years down the line.
3 years is not long enough to claim indefinite leave to remain. It's not long enough to make any claims to permanent residence. I suspect that's rather deliberate.
While the government's plans are unclear on this subject, there are a few ways that Ukrainians could stay after their visa runs out.
You may well see people transitioning from the Homes for Ukraine scheme into refugee status. You would also hope that if the conflict is still ongoing, the UK government would meaningfully respond and would also obviously be in communication with those who come to the UK so that their anxiety is not building.
Anna and Maxim both mentioned the anxiety that comes with this uncertainty. And unfortunately, this is a common feeling among displaced people. Dr. Jeff Crisp is a fellow at Oxford University's Refugee Studies Centre.
When people leave their own country, they assume it's going to be a temporary arrangement and that things will soon get back to normal, and they'd be able to go back home. It happened with the Syrians, and now, of course, they've been outside of their own country for a decade. That certainly adds to the trauma.
Anna, Maxim and Alyssa are just 3 of the 12 million Ukrainians who have fled their homes since the invasion. And like many others, while they're physically safe here in the UK, their minds are often elsewhere.
It's so hard to turn off your phone, close the news feeds, and then go back to having a coffee and smiling and being positive. It just shatters and shocks you reading about what's going on back home. Hopefully one day we'll read some positive news about Ukraine and everything can go back to how it was.